Well, all right, everybody, so glad you're here today. Hey, I want you to know I've missed being with you. You've been in great hands. I know Chuck Angel and Lee Strobel and Ted Cunningham did an amazing, amazing job. But I want you to know I miss being here with you, and I'm glad to be with you as a faith family here today. You may wonder, you know, where exactly you been, bro? What have you been doing? Each summer, I take 2 weeks of vacation. And then our elders allow me to have 2 weeks of study break where I spend time just resting, reading a lot. I read a lot during this time. I'm reflecting a lot. I write a good bit. And I'm replenishing my own spirit to be ready to come back and to lead you guys as a church family. And so that's largely what I do. I get to go to our various campuses. I was at the Reservoir campus one Sunday. I was in Clinton a Sunday. I was in Madison one Sunday. Now, if you're in Starkville or Oxford, I'll be up there in the coming weeks when football season starts. Y'all know what I'm saying? So I'll be up there, right? So, but it just gives me a chance to get around to some of our faith family that I don't always get to see as much. But I also got to go to some other churches. I attended 3 other churches, and that helps me. It helps me to go to church where nobody knows who I am or what I do. I'm just another person who's just rolling up in here, and it helps me to know what you feel like. Why am I going to get up and go? Is it worth my time? What am I looking for when I get there? What really resonates with me? So being away and in other places helps me, I hope, be better prepared to lead you today. I don't want this to be a waste of your time. I pray that you're about to have an experience with God that changes everything about you. Now, one of the things we're going to start off this fall time with is this idea of foundations. What does it look like when God builds His church? Not when we do it, but when God does it. And so we're talking about these fundamental things that I think come from God's heart in His Word. We're starting today with this idea that God builds His church on and in love. Okay? God wants His church to experience and then to reflect His love. At Pine Lake, we say that we define a disciple as one who learns from Christ, lives in Christ, and then leads other people to Christ. And we call those 3 L's L3, right? We have an L3 journal, and that's the way we define discipleship. If I were adding another L, I would add love. All 3 of those other things, learning, living, and leading, all have to do with the love of God. But God wants us to be a people of love. Now, let me ask you, could we agree with that song first recorded in 1965 that says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love"? Come on, can anybody say amen or oh me to that? But wouldn't you say that the world today needs love? We are a people and a nation divided on everything, and the ugliness seems to be escalating. Our schools and our workplaces have too often sadly resembled war zones due to violence. Homes are constantly under attack and being torn apart. And what the world needs now, listen, what you need right now and what the people around you need right now is just love, sweet love. Now, with that said, what kind of love are we talking about? Because there are multiple kinds of love. Even in the Bible, in Bible times, with the New Testament specifically, was written in the Greek language. Greek was a gift from Alexander the Great. I don't know if y'all remember that name. Some of y'all are about to go back to school. You better remember Alexander the Great. He was a young man who conquered the known world around 321 BC. And Alexander the Great, in his vast kingdom, made everybody learn the same language, which was called Koine or Common Greek. That's why when Jesus was born at 4 BC, the New Testament could be written and everybody could understand it because Alexander the Great had given everybody a common language, the common language of Greek. Now, Greek has 3-4 words, but 3 primary words that were used to express love. One of them is the word eros. Y'all may have heard of something like this. Eros is the root of where we get our word erotic. It's a selfish love. It's a taking love. I love you for what you do for me, and I advertise myself for what I could do for you. Eroticism. It's a selfish, taking kind of love. Our world today, I think, has idolized this kind of love. Netflix series, our song, social media are inundated with erotic love, okay? We've made an idol out of it, but here's what you need to know. The Bible never uses eros to define love. It was a word available, but God never used that word to describe love, okay? Now, The next word is the word phileo. You may have heard of it before, phileos or phileo love. It's a brotherly kind of love. As a matter of fact, phileo or phileos combined with the word for brother, adelphos, put together philadelphos, Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the city of what? Say it if you know it. Brotherly love. So phileo love is a brotherly, familial kind of love. Unlike eros, which is totally selfish, Philadelphia love or phileos love is actually reciprocal. I love you, and I really do have genuine feelings of affection for you. I want to give to you, but you're going to have to give back to me. And so in our family, we work together, okay? We work together like family, but how many of you know? And look, that word was used where Jesus was saying to Peter, do you love me? And Peter kept saying, I do, phileos, love you. I do love you like a brother, okay? It can communicate genuine love, but it's love with a limit. Brotherly love is a love with a limit. How many of y'all were raised with a sibling and you fought all the time? Anybody here got scars on your body or shots where you got shot with a BB gun because your brother, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You would fight with your siblings. Phileos love, Philadelphia love doesn't mean no problems. It means I love you up to that point where we're sideways. And we all know young kids who fight. Listen, we know grown kids and families who are torn apart by, they love each other, but there was a limit, okay? The third word is the word agape. This word was not used until Jesus was here. Isn't that weird? This word was not even a thing until Jesus walked the face of the earth. This word was created to describe the kind of love that Jesus was talking about, and it is a love that is selfless and self-giving with no limit. It's the word that symbolizes God's love and shows the kind of love that Jesus had when he left heaven and emptied himself, not trying to rob from the Father, but he emptied himself, became a man, not just a man, but a servant, not just a servant, but obedient to the point of death, so that God could be glorified in his plan, and we could all be forgiven of our sins. Agape love, a self-giving, selfless kind of love. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:2, walk in love, agape love. Just as Christ also loved you, that agape love, and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. The love of Jesus demonstrated is the kind of love God calls us to. Now, you've heard it defined in 1 Corinthians 13 before. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. It doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This love has no limit. It never fails. Okay, that's agape love. Now, of those three, eros, phileos, and agape, which of the three do you think the world needs now? Do we need more eros, more phileos, or more of God's agape love? Let me ask you this. Which love have you been chasing? Have you been chasing and trying to give eros, phileos, or agape love? Could I ask you, wherever you are right now, listening, watching, could I ask you, would you open your heart right now, just say a prayer to God and say, God, I want to open my life to the kind of love that you want me to have. Nobody else can make this decision for you, but God wants you to make that call right now to just say, God, I want to open my heart to the love that you have for me and that you call me to, okay? Love. Now, what's the big deal about love? Why would love be the thing that we start this idea of the foundation of our church? Why would we start there? What's the big deal about love? Here's why love is a big deal. Number one, God is love. All right, God is love. Check out this verse, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not know God, does not know God, for God is love. Do you see that? If you know God, you're going to love people. But if you don't know God, you can't love people. If you're not loving people, it's evidence that you don't know God truly. When you know God, God's love, and God is one who teaches us to love. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have, not church attendance, not give your money, but if you have love for people. That's what shows you're God's child. Another reason is that it's the goal of our instruction as pastors. Paul wrote to a young guy named Timothy, and this is what he said in 1 Timothy 1:5. But the goal of our instruction is, look at that, love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. In other words, listen, Pine Lake, what I want you to do today is not to have more information. What I'm asking you, what I think God is laying before you, is not that you go try to manufacture some kind of transformed behavior, but your heart be jacked up. What God wants is for you today to say, God, I receive love and I want to give love. That's the goal, having a love that transforms. The Bible tells us you're nothing without love. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if we speak with tongues of men and of angels but don't have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. No matter how gifted you are, if you don't have love, you're nothing. If you have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, you're really, really, really religious and spiritual. But if you don't have love, the Bible says, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but I don't have love. In other words, I'm sacrificing like a big dog. But if I don't have love, it profits me what? Everybody say it profits me what? Nothing. Do you understand why love's a big deal? Love's a big deal. Without love, you have nothing. Love, the Bible says, goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 13, is the greatest. 1 Corinthians 13:13. But now, faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of faith, hope, and love is love. Love's better than faith. Love's better than hope. Why? Because faith will one day end. One day we're going to see Jesus face to face. We won't have to have faith for anything. We'll see it. One day hope is going to end. We won't have to hope in anything because we'll experience all that God has for us. But love will never end. Love will mark our lives for eternity, experiencing and giving love. And then the Bible says that love is the greatest commandment. Matthew chapter 22, which is where we're really talking today. If you have a Bible, you can open there. Matthew 22, verse 34. The Bible says when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, some other religious leaders who didn't believe in the resurrection, that's why they're sad, you see, the Sadducees, they gathered themselves. That's the way you had to remember it in seminary. They're sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They gathered themselves together, and one of them, an attorney, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him and said, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second one is like it. And notice it's in all caps. That's when they're quoting the Old Testament. It's important. I'll show you why in a minute. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend, watch this, the whole law and the prophets. Watch this, Pine Lake, you're going to learn something. Jesus said the whole law and prophets depend on these two commandments, which can be boiled down to one word, and that one word is love. Love. This is a big deal. God wants you and me to be a people of love. Now, who did Jesus say we're supposed to love? Who did he say we're supposed to love? What's the greatest commandment? Is to love God, right? So you certainly want to learn to love God. Love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Now, we could talk about what each of those mean, and each of those are significant, but here's the way I'd like to do it for us today. Your heart, soul, and mind, it's everything within inside of you. It's what makes you who you are. God says, love me without reservation. He wants you to love him more than anything else, more than any other person, more than any other thing, more than any other idea or any other ambition or goal. God says, love him the most. This is about valuing God above everything. Now, please listen. God didn't say, just believe in me. We sang that a minute ago, right? Oh, I believe in God the Father, and I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit, our three in one God. I believe all that. Yes, you do. You just sang that song. But can I just tell you something? The devil and the demons believe that too. They believe in God. They believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe in Jesus. God's not asking you to believe in him. He's saying, love me. I want you to move past belief to affection and reverence and devotion to me. How do I know if I really love God and I don't just believe in God? I'll give you three indicators. Are you grateful? Are you a grateful person? Do you give thanks to God for his goodness to you? Because gratitude to God for how good he's been to you is a great indication that you have received and understand the love of God. Ephesians 2 verse 3 says this, talking about ungodly people. Among them, we too all, that's everybody, come on. We all formerly lived, and this was our life, apart from Christ, in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, thank God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith. What is he saying? You don't deserve God's love. You were an enemy of God. You run in the wrong way, and yet God loved you anyway. When was the last time you just stopped and said, God, thank you for loving me with that kind of relentless, unconditional love? Come on, this is an indicator that you really have come to understand the love of God when you say, God, just thank you. Thank you for loving me like that, God. When was the last time you just stopped and thanked God for all things that you've been given? The Bible tells us in James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. If you took a vacation, did you stop and say, God, thank you? If you sat on a beach, did you say, God, thank you for stopping that water right there at my feet? If you were watching the sunrise or the sunset, did you stop and just say, God, you are amazing what you just did? God, thank you for the car to get down here, for the condo I'm staying in, or the house. God, thank you for the time away, for the job that afforded me, or the people who allowed me to be here with them. God, thank you. Come on, did you do it? An indicator that you really love and recognize God's love toward you is there's gratitude within your heart. Second indicator is worship, that you worship God. That's prioritizing and praising God, certainly on Sunday, but every day. You're telling God with your words, with your time, with your talent, with your resources, God, you matter more than anything. Worship is valuing God. God, your word, your way, even over my own. God, I'm surrendering to you. I'm thankful to you, but I'm surrendering to you to worship you. I don't know if you know it, but this weekend is really a special weekend. This is the weekend of the Mississippi Wildlife Extravaganza. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. It marks a new beginning. And all the men are going, yeah. And most of the women are going, oh, gosh, right? What is that? Look, that's a time where down at the Trade Mart in Jackson, there is all these wares and all this noise and all this stuff. And I really, really like to go. But because of some things with my family and other obligations, I've not been able to go yet. Had to move my daughter back to college and other things that we were doing. So I hadn't been able to go yet. And today's the last day. And I thought about just extending my, you know, little sabbatical vacation time one more week. I just have the whole day, right? But God won that argument, and I came to work today. I came to church today. So I value him more. But I told my family, I said, listen, when church is over with, I am going straight down Lakeland Drive to the Trade Mart. Don't ask me anything else. But then my daddy texted and said, hey, could y'all come to lunch tomorrow? Now what you gonna do is the Trade Mart or your mom and daddy? Now my mom and daddy were in the last service, so I had to act like it was really, you know, no problem at all. Ooh, thank God for that chicken and dressing and them peas I'm gonna go eat, right? Right? But God's got to honor your mama and your daddy. Okay, I can still get down there, but when I get there, I know I'm gonna see something I need. Come on, somebody. And how many of you know, whenever you see something you need, you want to buy it real quick before God tells you don't buy that, you can't afford it. Come on. Y'all know what I'm saying? Because you do the same thing, right? But do you really listen to God when it comes to purchases and your time and your priorities? Do you understand? That has nothing to do with right here sitting in church. Did we sing the song or raise my hands or not? No, we're talking about on an ongoing basis, am I valuing God, loving God by surrendering everything about me to him? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it's the love of Christ that controls us. How do you know you really love God? When his love begins to change you. And that leads to the third indicator, which is obedience. Obedience to God. Jesus said this, John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we'll come to him and make our abode with him. But check this out. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but this is the Father's who sent me. In other words, I ain't making this up. This came straight from the throne of God, that if you love me, you keep my commandments. But if you don't love me, you won't. What is he saying? He says, it doesn't matter what you yap about how much you love God and believe God. If you don't walk in obedience, you don't really love him. So can I ask you, do you believe in God the Father, Christ the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Or has that become love and adoration to where you say, God, thank you. God, I surrender everything about my life to you, and I want to walk out this life in a way that honors you. That's the most important thing in life. It's to love God that way. And my prayer is that I become more and more a person of gratitude to God, worship and surrender to God, and obedience to God in every aspect of my life. But my prayer is for you and me as a church family, every one of us individually, to begin to live our lives in such a way that when people look at you and they hear you, humbly give thanks to God for everything that happens in your life. When they hear you, unashamedly praise the name of Jesus for his goodness to you, and you surrender to him in every way and walk in obedience to him. I hope and pray that they will watch the way you live, and then they'll look at you and go, do you go to Pine Lake? Not for the praise of Pine Lake name, but I'm saying I want us to be that kind of people. And if we're going to be that kind of people, I got to be that kind of man. So what I'm asking you to do today is, would you open your heart to say, God, I want to love you like that. God's going to build a community on people like that. Love God. But he also said, love people. Love your neighbor, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a verticality to our love, but watch this. There is also a horizontal feature in our love where we love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, however, is going to up that standard. John 13, this is what it says. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Old Testament said, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, listen, some of you have a real hard time loving yourself. So I want you to love your neighbor the way I've loved you. Remember, they had no concept of this kind of agape, self-giving love until Jesus got here. All it knew was either a selfish or a love with limits, as you love yourself. Now, Jesus is saying, love your neighbor without bounds. Let me tell you, this is what's going to transform your married life right now. It's for you to say, God, would you help me to love that knucklehead the way you love me? Because he's driving you nuts right now. I get it. God understands. Right? The thing that's going to help you to stay in there and not only go from survival mode, but to thriving and seeing a resurrection of your married life is when you say, God, I hate her guts, but I love you. And I'm asking you to fill me with your love so that I begin to love her the way you love me. She's my closest neighbor. I'm telling you, this is real. This is where it just gets real right here. When you say, God, I love you, but I hate them, you can't say that. You can't say that and be a Christ follower. God, you love me, and God, help me to love my mom and daddy, my brother or my sister, my spouse, my friends, my neighbors. God, help me to love them like you love me without limit, without limit. I love it when I see love displayed like that. I've heard about it several times and seen it in several ways in the last few days. Jeff Redding and I went to lunch with a guy who was relatively new to our church family, moved here from out of town, started coming to Pine Lake, really struggled to make a connection as a single dad, had a 20-ish-year-old daughter, and just struggled to make a connection, even changed campuses, quite honestly, and was struggling to find a small group, went to a men's group, and they were all telling their stories. And he was like, guys, I just don't belong here. I don't fit here. And one of the guys said, yes, you do, man. Come to my small group. We meet on such and such a night. You're going to fit in right there. So this guy's named Steve. He got his daughter. He said, look, you got to go to this small group with me. They may be crazy as can be, and I don't want to be by myself. Would you go with me? She said yes. So they went to small group. Unbelievable time of just connecting with this group. On the way home, the daughter says to her dad, Dad, that's your people. Little did he know, a few short months later, he was going to need his people, because he came home on a Sunday afternoon, and tragically, his daughter was lifeless. And Steve took me and Jeff to lunch to say, I want you to know this small group loved me like crazy. They were there for me, and they were my people. That's love. Sometimes we hear stories in all staff about love, and at all staff, I think back in May or June, Larry Stege told a story about one of our church members who's a doctor who was treating a patient, and in treating her, she didn't have any teeth, and he said, what happened to your teeth? She said, well, I've been in an abusive relationship, and all my teeth got knocked out. After she left, he said to his assistant, who's also a part of our church family, we got to do something about that. Do you know anybody who could help her get some teeth? I'd be willing to pay for it. And she said, yes, I do. So she called a dentist who's in our church. And he said, I don't do that kind of work, but there's another guy in our church that does do that kind of dentistry work. Long story short, this lady who came into a doctor's office with no teeth, I got a picture of her with no teeth. She came in with no teeth. Because love was expressed through people like you. Listen, she got a brand new smile. This is what she looks like now. You know what that is? That's the love of God. That's just people saying, you know what, I can do something. And because I care for her. She didn't go to church with us, but she had a need. And that's your neighbor. That's your neighbor. A girl sent us a communication at one of our campuses saying, hey, listen, I'd like to be connected to a small group. So we connected her to a small group. She got connected, goes into a group of other single young girls, and she's in there, but she's very, very quiet, and they don't know the battle she's got on the inside because she's locked up in shame and condemnation because her lifestyle is such that she's been trading her body for money. And so she's very quiet, very reserved. One of the girls establishes a relationship with her. They begin to talk. Things begin to come out. The leader of the group, they begin to engage and just talk about the love of Jesus. She's real hesitant, doesn't want anybody to know what her story is. But one night they were in small group, the reading for the L3, right? The L3 reading plan for that day was John chapter 4, the story about Jesus encountering this woman who's been with five guys, and that didn't work out. She's all about some Eros love. She's at number 6 now, living with him, not married. And Jesus that day helped her to find agape love, and it changed her life. And so this young girl says to her friends, this is my story. And rather than being rejected and condemned, she was amazed that that group of girls came around her with the love of Jesus. They affirmed her. They spoke words of life and hope over her. And before they left small group that night, she gave her life to Christ and became alive as a child of God. Do you know why? Because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, listen, yeah, listen, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. One of our values as a church is we live with grace. God has graced and loved us. We're going to give grace and love to other people. We are a people that live that way. Steve and Shelley Slater are part of our church. They live in Forest, have a small group in Forest, but they were encountered by a need recently, and they faced a moment of decision. Will you step up and will you love or not? I want you to see them share their story on the screen. Would you turn your attention?
Well, I've actually been out mowing the grass and I kept hearing sirens. Being out in a very rural area, we really don't have a lot of sirens. We know something's going on. We got home that night and we had heard the devastating news that the fire was, you know, caused a complete loss. As I went down to the home site and I looked at it and I just saw, you know, burned out mattress springs. I saw the washer and the dryer. I saw a treadmill, and it hit me that, you know, there's no roof over their head. I have a roof over my head. There's no bed there. There's no refrigerator. There's no anything. There's no pots and pans. And so the reality of going and seeing what all they had lost really affected me.
Well, Steve and I have just felt a stirring in our heart for at least a year that, you know, we don't want to just sit back and just sit on the sidelines, and we felt like maybe that's kind of what we were doing because we both work full time, then we have this bed and breakfast, and we're busy, and we let that be an excuse to not do things when people are in need.
It's kind of like, you know, the Good Samaritan thing where, you know, the guy's going down the road, and who is your neighbor? And so for me, it's just all of a sudden, I can walk by like everybody. I grew up in church my whole entire life. I've heard thousands, if not tens of thousands of sermons. But I walk out of church like everybody else does. I get up the next day, I go to work, and I just wait for, you know, the next Sunday. And I just keep hearing all this information. I didn't want to be just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And God's just telling me, as I was sitting out on the lawnmower, he said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What is your response to your ability? And that's when I made the decision. We're going to do something. Whatever we can, I don't know what that is, but we're going to do something. And as Shelly and I got to talking, I said, well, you know, we could start a GoFundMe account, you know, because these guys are going to need some money. I mean, they have nothing. They've lost everything. And then all of a sudden, within 48 hours, you know, the GoFundMe account had raised over $5,000. And so the whole community has ended up reaching out, you know, to help these people, and especially our Pine Lake small group. They really, really prayed. They really encouraged us. The people have brought clothes. They're just, you know, they're asking anything in the world that they can do.
I see how God has redeemed and restored a lot of things in my life that I thought were hopeless and helpless. And I do believe that God wants me to be used to do that for other people.
So we're committed to this couple. We're committed for the long term, for whatever it takes, whatever that we can possibly do to help make them whole. We're committed to go through those steps with them. So it's not just a one-time thing, and it's not just I'm praying for you and let it go. So that's just where we've been convicted, and so we've made the decision that we're going to follow through with this couple.
And they just were so humbled that they're seeing God, you know, turning, you know, beauty from ashes. It just meant so much because they're not a part of Pine Lake. It meant so much to them that this church was willing to reach out to them. And they feel God through that. And that's what they need right now. They just need to know they're not alone and this isn't hopeless and that people love them. And I know that right now they're feeling that because they've said all the bad that they're going through right now is being pushed to the back. And all they can see is good because of what people are doing for them.
See, that's the church being the church. Church is not something you come to. Church is who you are. And when God builds his people, he starts with love. Love for him and from him, and then love that is given to other people. Can I ask you a question? How many sermons have you heard? Thousands, if not tens of thousands? How much love have you shown? Here's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and yet closes his heart against him, doesn't do anything, how does the love of God abide in him, the scripture says. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, good intentions, but in deed and in truth. Let's give love. Be one who loves your neighbor. Now, we're wrapping up, but can I just say there's one more group of people that God wants you to love in that neighbor group? Some neighbors y'all like. How many of y'all know we got some neighbors we don't really like too much? And yet God says he wants you to love all your neighbors. He wants you to love everybody, even those that are hard to get along with. Listen, even he says love your enemy. Now, this is hard. It's not natural. It's supernatural. You'll never do it unless God does something in you. Most of us, we give lip service to this, and we act loving, even though on the inside we're not loving. What Steve Parton was telling us as a staff the other day, that he was going into a store. He was returning an item. He was on the phone walking in the door, and he hadn't even gotten up to the desk yet, and the lady started yapping at him about getting off the phone to return something. And he said on the outside, he was trying to be really, really nice because she might go to church with us, which is always a good idea, right? Got to behave around here. He said on the outside, I was being really, really nice. But he said on the inside, I was not feeling very loving. I don't know if y'all know who Heather Land is. I think that's her name. She's a Christian comedian. She does these I ain't doing it things. She posted on her Instagram this picture recently. I waved at you with my whole hand, but in my heart, I was only waving with one finger. How many of y'all know what that's like, right? Now listen, this is the reality. Come on, let's get real for a moment. This is the reality of where us religious people like to live. On the outside, we'll say, girl, bless your heart. Isn't that something? Isn't that special? And on the outside, we'll act like it's all good. But on the inside, we're a mess. And listen, I suppose that, you know, fake love's better than real hate. But God wants you to have real love. He wants you to have real love. This is what Jesus taught. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor. Remember what all caps means? It means that's in the Old Testament. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That wasn't in the Bible. They just added that part. God didn't say that. He said this. They just assumed that. Hate your enemy. But Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Because here's the way God rolls. He causes his son, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God loves everybody. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? In other words, if you only love people that get along with you, you have not demonstrated the love of God. God loves all people, even those who hate him. He still loves them. They're not his children until they turn to him in faith. They're his creation. But he loves them, and he gives his son and rain. And his general grace on all of us. Okay? God, Jesus taught us to give specific love toward people like God does. Jesus modeled this. He washed the disciples' feet, including that loser, that backstabber, Judas. Come on, that's in our terms, right? He washed them all, including that guy. Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Who's them? Everybody who's responsible for his death. He's praying for them in the moment. He even loved your sorry tail. Right? I'm just saying what the Bible said earlier, right? That's what the Bible said. You were an enemy of God, child of wrath, but God. Come on. God loved you while you were an enemy. What Jesus taught, what Jesus modeled is that you love people, even those who don't act loving in return. We live in such a nasty day and time when you can't even have honest, productive conversation with people you disagree with. If someone says something you don't like or does something you don't agree with, we demonize the other person and we act all offended, and we may be offended, but that is not from the Lord. We don't tolerate each other anymore. We can't get along anymore with people that are clearly have just differences of opinion or idea. This is not the Jesus way. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, dark cannot drive out dark, only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. And God is calling us to a higher way, in a different way, church. Chick-fil-A in 2012 was being boycotted and picketed because one of the founders in the Kathy family had expressed their belief on traditional marriage. And it led to some picketing and stuff. And so there was a Chick-fil-A owner in California who, while there were picketers outside, chose to go a different way. He gave all of the protesters coupons for free food and drink at his restaurant anytime. They'd always be welcome there. What do you think happened to the protest? Hate doesn't drive out hate, but love does. Love overcomes the hurt. Romans 12:20 says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you heap burning coals on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When the world sees you and me loving people who are hurting us, I hope and pray they say, you're God's child, aren't you? I'd love it if they say, what church do you go to now? But what's more important is that they know that you have been touched by the love of God that loves all people. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. But they don't need eros or philos. They need the agape love of Jesus. You are the carrier and the dispenser of that love. Would you pray with me? Just all across the room, if you're listening on the podcast or watching at a campus, could we just pray? One of the things that I learned being at a church where I wasn't in charge of church is that I wanted to pray and they didn't let me. There just wasn't a time for that. And so I want time for that right now. I want to ask you to pray. Would you talk to God? You talk to God. Not me, you talk to God. About love. What's God saying to you? Just listen to Him. What's He saying? He's calling Him, you, to experience love. Listen, you can never give love you've never received. God is love. Would you, for the first time, maybe just say to God, I need you in my life, Jesus. I'm a mess. I'm dead in my sin. I'm your enemy, and I see that now. Forgive me. God, I receive your love displayed for me through Jesus in His death. Just receive it, simply as you know how. Just receive it. Come on, Christ follower, would you just thank God? Just thank Him, man. Thank Him. Just think about how good His love is. Man, His love is a patient love, an unchanging love, a forever love, unconditional love. Just give Him thanks. Could I direct your heart to this place? Would you just ask, Lord, who do you want me to love with your love? And Lord, I pray you'd give people just faces and names all over right now as we're asking, Spirit, speak. Ask Him, who do you want me to love? And with those people's names and faces in your heart, would you say to God, God, I'm going to need some help. And so the Bible says you can actually have love grow in your heart when you ask God. This I pray that your love would abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Philippians 1:9. So would you just ask God, God, would you give me love for those people? Ask God to give you love, to grow you love. Would you surrender to the Holy Spirit, both in this moment and then in the moments past this where you're going to give love, surrender to the Holy Spirit? Because here's what the Bible says. The fruit of the Spirit is love, first and foremost. When the Spirit of God is controlling you, the result is love. The love of God is poured out in your heart through His Holy Spirit, Romans 5:6. So would you just say, Holy Spirit, would you just fill me up and take over me? Would you ask God to give you some Christian people who will encourage you to be more loving? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, stimulate each other toward love and good deeds, talking to believers. So maybe that's a group, small group, or maybe it's to be a part of this church family. And if God is calling you to connect with some people who could give that kind of love to you and you could reciprocate and learn to give love, would you just receive that right now? Just a moment, I'm going to close this prayer time. Listen, we're going to sing a song that just says, I'm going to build my life upon God's love. I'm going to build my life upon God's love. I'm going to trust Him. And I pray that you'll lift this song up today just as a song of worship and surrender to God. But if God's stirring within you, listen, to give your life to Christ, there are going to be people all around this room who would be glad to welcome you and pray with you. Listen, here's what I also know. God's love is a healing love. If you need prayer for healing today, the love of God's in this place through His people. If you need healing, if God prompts you, would you just walk to one of these folks? They'll pray with you for the love of God, the healing power of God to flow toward you. But could we just turn this place into a place of God's love? Father, we love you. We bless you. We're going to worship you with our song, with our life. God, would you be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.